Joining us now, he's up in Canada at the Glen Abbey Golf Course. He's the head golf professional out there. Daryl Woodjets joins us. Daryl, welcome into the golf shop.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing great, man. How are you doing?
Excellent, thanks.
So, got an interesting scenario for you this year. I mean, traditionally, your tournament's right in this kind of spot, but now you're between two major championships. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks for these guys, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's obviously with the Olympics and the change in the schedule, we're sandwiched right between the two. But luckily, we have a great sponsor in RBC. So we'll bring in all the RBC guys. We'll be flying back from the British Open. Hopefully it ends on Sunday. No Monday finish. And, yeah, we'll have everybody here for the start of the tournament.
Now, was that the biggest fear when the schedule came out and we saw this compression with the majors so close together in the Olympics? What was going to happen to all of these events that sort of bookend them? Was that something you guys were significantly concerned with?
Not too concerned, to be honest with you. I mean, we knew that, obviously, with RBC being the title sponsor and you know, their presence on tour, that we'd have you know, plenty of big names coming over and participating just like they have the last few years.
All right, well, as I think I told you in our preparation, you know, I've been blessed to play a lot of really neat golf courses, but Glen Abbey is by far my favorite course that I've ever played, and it has, I have great fond memories of playing there in an NHL Players Association event with my dad. So I'm familiar with the course, but for folks who are listening who are not maybe familiar with anything beyond probably the legendary 17th with 17 bunkers, where should we look on the course as we're watching on TV for players to make moves, both good and bad? Where can we see some carnage? Where can we see some guys really push for low scores?
The action will be on the back nine for sure. Playing here, I'm sure you remember the valley. You know, once you tee off number 11, head down to the valley, there's a couple of difficult holes. Number 11 and 12 are a difficult par 4, par 3. And then the scoring happens, starting on 13, 14, 15, then back up top, 16, 17, and 18. Those are there's three par 5s in that mix, and they're all reachable, especially for these long hitters. And then you know, we've had some really firm conditions out here that's been dry, so the fairways are firm, the ball will be rolling, so this is where the guys are really going to take advantage of the par 5s, 13, 16, and obviously 18, the famous 18th hole here at Glen Abbey. That's where the scoring will happen, and you can really see guys make a run.
All right, well, we're talking, just a reminder, we're talking to Daryl Woodjets, the head pro up at Glen Abbey in Toronto. Now, when you talk about guys that are long hitters and making it through the valley and the darkness of that valley, whose game's right now? Whose game is sort of shaping up to play that course well? I mean, you're looking at your past champions. It's a little bit of variety in terms of skill set. So who do you think is in a position to do well next week?
Well, obviously, some of the players playing well, Dustin Johnson being a long hitter and coming over, we'll see how he finishes at the British, but coming over here, you know, he's got the Gretzky connection, the local connection, so he'll be playing. With his length, I could really see him eating up the par fives here and going deep. Yeah, and then like you said, over the years, there's been, you know, a mix of ball strikers and long hitters, going back to, you know, Nick Price, who won here. You know, there was Billy Andrade, who certainly wasn't a long hitter. Tiger, obviously, with his victories here. Jim Furyk. I mean, it's certainly a mixed bag. But I really think that the long hitters will take advantage of those par fives and you know, depending on weather, we'll be able to start throwing some darts and making some eagles.
Yeah, your defending champion, Jason Day, just hit a little bit of a clanker in the Open Championship. Hopefully we won't see those next week. But, you know, 271 was the number last year. Knowing what you know about course conditions and potential weather, what do you think about that score this year? Is that good, bad, or indifferent at this point?
You know what? It's tough to say. I mean, I think we could see something along those lines. You know, if the defense right now of the golf course is going to be how firm the greens are. If we do get some weather and those greens soften up, you could see even lower scores than what we had last year. But I think as of this morning anyway, the forecast for next week looks warm and dry. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it around that 1,700 par number again.
So if someone a little bit deeper in the field gets to 17, how many Molsons can they have as they in the clubhouse and feel safe at 17?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't bank on 17 winning it though. If you get to 17 and you're in the house, I would hold off on the Molsons, maybe a coffee crisp.
Coffee crisp.
All right, so I got to ask you, Tiger Woods 2000, the infamous shot out of the bunker. How many times have you tried that shot, and how many times do people try that shot? And is it still the same shot?
It's slightly different. That shot now is would actually be a little more difficult. The trees since then have gotten a little bit bigger, a little fuller. So the trees that he hit over would be a little bit more in play now. But yeah, it's every day we see that shot being attempted. Look at we got a great view from the pro shop here of the 18th green, and you see, it's countless times a day, guys going over and dropping in that bunker and then donating the ball to the water gods as they obviously don't clear it like he did. It's a daily event. The question comes up daily.
Well, speaking of daily, that's not the only famous shot at your place. You've got a marker on one of your holes for an achievement from John Daly, which I imagine has been I imagine people try to replicate that and they donate more golf balls to the golf gods. Tell our listeners about that marker on that hole.
That's right, yeah, number 11. So he, JD, bombed it. I don't know if he was attempting to go for the green or it was just hitting it as far as he could down there, but so it ended up in 16 Mile Creek, which runs all the way through the valley. So he put it in the water, 370 plus yards in it. So your everyday golfer stands there on the tee and sees how far that drive is, puts it in perspective for him. Obviously, they don't have to worry about putting it in the water. It's out of reach for, I think, 99.9% of the players.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, Darryl, when we talk about weather there, I mean, you know, for those of us down in the States, we just, a lot of people have this impression that, you know, Canada's the great white north, and, we watched this week the Open Championship. I mean, we're not seeing temperatures, you know, get into the 60s. We're seeing 25, 35-mile-an-hour winds, except for, Thursday afternoon. What kind of conditions do we generally see up there this time of year?
Yeah, our summers are, here in the Greater Toronto Area, they get hot and humid. I guess that's all relative to where you are, but for us, it's the last 2 weeks we haven't had very much rain at all, just hot, humid weather. 30 degrees Celsius. I guess that's in Fahrenheit. In the 80s anyway.
Carry the one. Yeah, I can't figure it out.
Nobody
either.
Said there'd be math.
I want to say it's 30 Celsius is about 85 Fahrenheit. So those are the conditions we've seen really since mid-June, very little rain. We get a few millimeters here and there, but other than that, the golf course is dry. The greens are firm. And the fairways are rolling, so those, I think you'll see the players off the tee enjoy the firm bounces, but we'll see when they're coming into the greens, small target greens and tucked pins. We'll see how they hold up.
Well, when we have top teaching professionals and head professionals on the show, we like to talk a little bit about what they're seeing. And what we see down here and the guys talk about is that everybody shows up for their lesson and they want 10, 15 yards on their drive. But nobody asks to just take two shots, two strokes, five strokes off their score by grinding away on their short game. Are Canadians any smarter than us?
No.
Okay, good. Good to know. Good to know.
No. That's it. We see it all the time. We've got the Clublink Academy here at Glen Abbey, some great teachers, and we talk about it all the time. That somebody who's coming in for a one-off lesson, that's what they're looking for. They want an extra few yards on the drives. and don't worry about the short game. Obviously, you know, sitting down with a student and coming up with a game plan, you know, that's something that gets addressed on, you know, lesson five or six, not lesson one or two. You know, it's we all know the scoring zone is 100 yards and in, and that's where, you know, especially the higher handicapper can improve the most. You know, getting up and down from off the green or you know, avoiding the three putts. Yeah, that's it's the same up here.
Yeah. So does that mean that everybody wants to come in and say, "Hey, I want my driver swing on video"?
Yeah. No. Absolutely. That's we don't get too many requests for their putting stroke on video.
Which would probably be a good thing, wouldn't it? Putting stroke on video would probably be a great thing.
No,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. So when you're dealing with this, if you had a high handicap or somebody 18 to 24 handicap come in, well, how would you tell him to divide an hour of time at the practice facility? Bucket of balls and an hour of time. How would you suggest an average golfer divide this time?
Yeah, I mean, out of the 60 minutes, you know, maybe the last 10 minutes is hitting a few drives, but really that the majority of the time is going to be, you know, when you're out on the range, is getting those wedges dialed in, distance control, knowing how far each wedge is going, and working your way back. I mean, you see it all the time, a missed shot on a par four, it leaves you that awkward yardage of 70 yards or 50 yards, and having that distance, having confidence in knowing you have that 50-yard shot and you're going to be able to pull it off. Worst-case scenario, you're at least giving yourself that chance for par. You know, you're not going to get up and down from 50, 70, 80 yards every time, but giving yourself that chance rather than, you know, being too strong and missing a green or coming up short into the greenside bunker, next thing you know, double, triple bogey. So I would start the student, you know, getting geared to those wedges and getting a real good control on how far each wedge goes and getting dialed in that way.
All right, Darryl, we appreciate you coming on. We hope that you have a great tournament week there, and we'll be watching.
Excellent, and I'll send you guys a coffee crisp.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks a lot, man.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys.